right, hello and welcome to Radio Free Nintendo. This is episode 210. I'm your host, Jonathan Metz. With me today, special guest Zach Miller from the Newscast.
Hello, everybody.
It's been a while since we've had you on here, I think.
Indeed.
Coincidentally, it was the last time we talked about Metroid in an extended format.
That's right. It was the Metroid 2 on Retroactive. Yeah, it was a few months ago. And as you heard, Greg Leahy is also here.
Oh, hoy, hoy.
And it is going to be a three-man show for you this week. John and James took off this week to enjoy the NFL opening. So the rest of us are here on a different night than normal to talk about Metroid Other M, and that's all we're going to talk about. So if you don't care two bits about Metroid, just turn it off now. We'll be back with other things. We'll basically have a moratorium next week on Metroid. If John wants to talk about it, we'll indulge him, but basically, we're going to be done with it after this, I think.
Johnny and I will sit there in hushed silence.
Indeed. I 100%ed it almost a week ago, so I'm going to actually have to, like, dredge my brain a little bit for this.
That was long ago.
And, of course, if you can't get enough Metroid talk, there's about there were 30 minutes of it on the last RFN, and there's another 30 minutes of it or so on the last episode of Newscast with a whole different set of voices and opinions on it. So we got you covered for Metroid stuff here. So this episode is going to be shorter than normal. It's just going to be one segment, and we're going to maybe start out with some non-spoiler stuff because we haven't talked with Zach about it, and plus we're all finished with it at this point. So we kind of give some overall thoughts, and then we're going to head into deep-ass spoiler country. And, you know, it's next door to Flavor Country. And we're going to get into the really late game stuff, story spoilers, you know, item completion talk, things like that. So if you're still playing it, which you very well could be because it didn't come out that long ago, you might want to let that go for a while and then come back to it, you know, once you're kind of done with the game. So we'll let you know when we get to the spoiler part. It's going to be pretty soon here. So first off, as Greg calls it, the executive summary, let's talk about how much we've all played here. Zach, I think you got everything right before your review.
Yeah, I did everything except the final second ending sequence in hard mode.
Well, so you played the game twice now.
Yes.
Wow, okay. You've got 195% completion.
Well, no, it's still only 100% because hard mode doesn't let you get any expansions.
Really? No expansions at all? I haven't tried hard mode because I kind of don't care. But it sounds like, I guess then you would be able to play through it much faster if you're not distracted by all that stuff.
Yeah, you press minus in the story sequences and it's over pretty quick.
Wow, you just blow through the entire game, just bam.
Yep.
Okay. Greg, I guess you're familiar with hard mode, meaning that you've got your 100% on normal as well.
That's right, 100% is the normal playthrough, and I've completed hard now.
Wow.
So I've played this game to death.
All right, you guys have both played considerably more than I have. I've unlocked hard mode, so I have 100% on normal. But, like I said, I haven't touched hard. I probably won't, just because I'm ready to move on to other things, basically.
Yeah.
But, all right, so we're all experts here, pretty much. And, Greg, I'll start with you, because I think I've read Zach's review, so I have a pretty good idea of what he thinks about the overall thing. But you were still partway through it last week, so I'd like to hear your thoughts, your kind of capsule review.
Well, I played it to the extent that I have because I was enjoying it a lot and, you know, continued to enjoy it up until I stopped playing it just recently. So that's the first thing. But I thought, in general, I got used to the kind of control quirks and was ultimately not terribly bothered by those. I certainly enjoyed parts towards the end where it kind of gathers pace and some of the things that you discussed last week in terms of getting more and more abilities kind of quickly.
It accelerates there in the last
It does.
Or so.
Yeah, I enjoyed some of the later boss encounters as well. I mean, pretty much throughout the game I enjoyed the boss encounters, but I did enjoy the ones towards the end. Mm-hmm. And the story stuff kind of went away for a while, came back, didn't really redeem itself, but ultimately did. It didn't somehow become more intrusive and spoil my enjoyment. So, you know, that my sort of indifference to that didn't really change a great deal. So I suppose the main thing that I would say in terms of where I was a little disappointed in the progression of the game, just in general terms, was that I didn't feel it opened up in the same way that even Fusion did. I was a little bit surprised by that. It kind of defied my expectations a little bit, but I still enjoyed what I was doing. I'm quite happy with a linear experience, which is kind of what it was. And then of course there is the post game thing that does change everything a bit.
I'm going to come back to the post game thing because I know it's a big deal for Zach, but your comment about comparing it to Fusion and how Fusion opens up at the end, there's a specific moment that I'm sure we all are familiar with in Fusion where you're so used to being told almost exactly where to go, not necessarily how to get there always, but you always have an idea of where you need to get to next, and it's pretty straightforward for the most part. And there's this one moment, you know, towards the end of Fusion where you're riding in this elevator and the power goes out.
Right.
And you have to basically break out through the side of the elevator and start going through a bunch of tunnels. And it is disturbing. I mean, for the first time, you thought you knew where you were headed and suddenly you don't. And you're kind of going off into the dark unknown. And also because of the dread that pervades Fusion, you know, where you're trying to evade the SAX and all that. That is a really effective moment in that game, and unfortunately, I don't think Other M has anything really quite like that.
No,
precisely. I absolutely agree with that. I think Fusion actually had something of a progression in terms of, you know, early on, you're told where to go, and your path to that place is relatively unencumbered. And then it becomes more and more sort of circuitous. You know, you'll get within touching distance of where you're supposed to go, and then you'll find that your path is blocked and you've got to go some crazy other route to get there. And these processes become gradually more complicated until that moment that you reference where then you're totally off the map. And I like that progression in Fusion. I mean, it's a shame it didn't in some ways maybe play out a bit faster or just over the course of a longer game, you know, because Fusion's not that terribly long, but I enjoyed that. And that was the one thing I felt was sort of absent from the progression in Other M, because, you know, in terms of gaining abilities and becoming more powerful and all that, that was all there. The bosses were there, and I enjoyed all of that, certainly. But that sort of gradual kind of reintroduction to Metroid as you know it, but it actually feels different because you've, like as you said, you know, you've had this sense of surety which is then taken away. Is really interesting, sort of the dynamic, and yeah, they didn't capitalize on that.
You know, another thing you said, Greg, that it kind of opens up at the end at Fusion, and it does. I mean, there's a point at which in Fusion where if you go to a navigation room, you're kind of sent on your final mission to destroy the station, and that's it. But if you avoid navigation rooms and go through all the different little tubes connecting the sectors, you can pretty much get everything.
These sectors that seemed very separate, all of a sudden there's these secret little things that join them together and all this kind of stuff. It's quite surprising. And there's some really clever hidden items, which some of which you could say of Other M, but not to the same extent.
Right.
So, Zach, your review is pretty comprehensive, I think. And it, you know, if any of our listeners haven't read your review, obviously, we recommend that they do so because, you know, there's just a level of detail and eloquence that you can get into in text that we're not really going to hit in podcast form. They're just different qualities. But you wrote that review almost 2 weeks ago, so I'm really curious to hear about how your thoughts have sort of evolved since you wrote that review, and especially now that you've played through hard mode. Do you feel differently about it than you did at the time you wrote the review?
I do. I'm a little more forgiving now that I've experienced the whole game. The points I didn't like, the story and the controls, I still don't especially like.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked hard mode. I was disappointed that you don't get anything for doing it. It's just kind of a do-it-to-do-it. But I like, it's a very streamlined game. I'll say that. You know, even if you're not even playing through the whole story, if you can press minus and skip the cutscenes, it's over very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to get your fill of 3D Metroid, this is probably the quickest way to do it, because Metroid Prime takes a while.
Oh, yeah. Those games are 15 hours, even if you know what you're doing and know where you're going. I mean, unless you sequence break it, every Metroid Prime game takes 15 hours to play through, I think.
And so this is a good way to get your quick 3D Metroid on. Having said that, I don't know if I'll ever really go back to it like I go back to Zero Mission and Super Metroid and even Metroid Fusion. I mean, I get a hunger for Super Metroid every year. I probably play that game at least once a year. And, you know, there's just a level of discovery in that game that I really love that's just missing from Other M. You know, aside from the post-game stuff, and that's over pretty quick, honestly. It's not my favorite Metroid. It's probably my least favorite console Metroid. I mean, aside from the NES Metroid, which is almost unplayable now.
Don't tell that to Andy. He doesn't like that.
Oh, we already exchanged words about that.
But you don't hate the game, certainly. I mean, you gave it a pretty good score anyway, but...
Yeah, it's good for the time you're spending with it, but then you're done.
The question of going back to it is interesting, because I have played basically all the Metroid games multiple times over the years. I mean, these are games, and there aren't that many games that I will go back and play through. But Metroid games I do, and part of it is because especially the 2D ones are so short. That it's easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can play through Super Metroid in 3 hours, and that's not even trying to go fast. So, at Zero Mission, I've beaten in under 3 hours. Fusion is like 4. So, they're pretty easy to go back through and just play again. And the feeling of progression as your character builds is just, to me, eminently satisfying. Even just, there's something about being able to reset Samus back to Zero and build her back up again, and in a pretty quick fashion. That just feels good, and it's just nice to be able to do that. And plus, if you already kind of know where to go next, it takes out a lot of that frustration, and you can just kind of enjoy the joy of it, you know, whole journey. And thinking about Other M, I mean, I'm trying to project a little bit into future Johnny and how he's going to, whether he's going to want to go back to it. I think I will, but not through the whole game. I mean, maybe I'll do hard mode if it is that streamlined, you know, if you can just kind of blow through it in a couple hours.
Well, I mean, you can as I understand it, you can replay through the regular game, skipping the cutscenes as well, if you just wanted to do it that way.
Yeah, but with the expansions there, it's not going to be as quick of a process for me. But I don't even know if I would want to do that. Just for one thing, Other M does kind of sit in the middle of, in length terms, it's longer than the 2D games, but shorter than Prime. Prime, I can go back through, although I don't do it often, but I have gone back and played all of the Prime games at least twice, and I think I've played the first one at least 3 times, and it's a big undertaking to do that, but I kind of enjoy that as well because I like to go back and read all the scan stuff because I forget it, and it's still interesting to go back and read it again.
It is, yeah.
Other M doesn't have that, and so I feel like maybe what I'll go back to for Other M4 is to kind of get the feeling of the speed of it and the flow of it and, you know, and to see the amazing graphics. I mean, the more I've seen of Other M and the more I play it, the more I appreciate how good it looks.
Yeah, it does.
But I can get those fixes pretty quickly, you know, maybe even in 15 or 30 minutes. I can kind of, oh yeah, dude, this game looks amazing. But that there's no, I don't need to play through the entire game again to feel that. So I think I'm less likely to go back and play all the way through it than I am Zero Mission, for instance, which I've played through probably 5 times.
Yeah, well, that is, I mean, even not doing any major sequence breaking or anything, you could do that in 90 minutes.
Right, yeah. It's a really short game. And I do appreciate that Other M is longer than those games because, you know, when you're spending $50 on a console game, you would like it to be not 2 hours long,
yeah,
generally speaking. And so I was a little concerned when I first started Other M that this might be really, really, really short. And I kind of liked that how long it is, you know. I'm glad it's not 20 hours because it would get tiresome, but I'm glad it's not 2. So I really do like the length of it. But I will definitely be skipping the story scenes if I ever go back and play it again, or if I go through hard. Absolutely, I will skip the story scenes. Okay, well, let's take a kind of a step up into spoiler territory here. So if you've listened this far and you don't want to hear what the end of the game is all about and all the stuff that happens, pause now and come back to it later after you've finished it.
Sean Connery dies.
Yes. Okay. The boat sinks. But yeah, this is your official and last warning. We're jumping into spoiler stuff here. Story spoiler stuff we'll get to later, but how about the ability set? How do we all feel about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, you did broach this subject last week in terms of, you know, the absence of new abilities. And yeah, certainly there aren't any. really.
Well, there's the diffusion beam, which...
That doesn't really count.
It's not even that noticeable. I mean, there are very specific situations, and when there's kind of like a hive of the insect things...
Yeah, that's
where it's really effective in that case, but, you know, against a single enemy, it doesn't make any difference. And so, it kind of, you know, sometimes I'll remember, oh yeah, I can sort of take out those four guys with one shot, if they're close enough together.
Right.
But yeah, you don't really have to think to use it. It doesn't really change how you play the game, unfortunately.
No, I mean, in terms of power-ups, there isn't anything you really are unfamiliar with. There's a few kind of borrowings of things from Metroid Prime, the series, in terms of the Seeker missiles or the Super...
The Seeker missiles,
which you barely use.
You use them once.
There's a couple of doors that you open them with, but...
Yeah, pretty much like a key-type situation, which, right. Yeah, but it's...
As they were in Metroid Prime.
Well, it is useful in combat, but how often do you use missiles in a regular combat situation?
Yeah, especially when you can just shoot your plasma beam at it.
Right, right. By that point, your beam weapon is so powerful that the only time you use missiles is against bosses, and against bosses, the Seeker part of it isn't really going to come into play. So it ends up being kind of pointless. I mean, it's a weird nod to Metroid Prime. I mean, you could say that diffusion missiles are in Fusion, but they're portrayed very, very differently, and they have a very different
use. Yeah, it's like an area of effect kind of thing.
Right.
I thought it was weird how as soon as you get the diffusion beam, you fight that worm mini-boss that the diffusion beam is not useful against.
Yeah, well, it makes you excited to try it after you beat the boss, I guess. I was extremely happy with how the screw attack and space jump work, because...
Yeah, those were great.
You know, those are such iconic abilities in the Metroid franchise, and they weren't in Metroid Prime at all, and I really, really appreciated how Retro managed to fit it into Metroid Prime 2 and 3, but it ends up being a very, very niche ability, even in those games. I mean, I use it as much as I can get away with it, but there are a lot of rooms where you can't even really pull it off. They're just not big enough. I mean, the thing is... In Metroid Prime 2 and 3, you have to triple jump to use that ability. In Other M, you have to single jump to use that ability. And that means you use it a lot more, even for combat. I mean, I kill bitches left and right with screw attack.
Oh, I mean, there's enemies that, you know, you would have got into protracted fights with earlier in the game that then you can simply somersault into and they dissolve.
Like the space pirates, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much the quintessential sort of Metroid empowerment feeling, I think that is.
Oh, yeah. You feel like a god.
Yeah, because, but, you know, I think it's more so because, you know, you've been in these fights with these enemies before that are protracted, that are, you know, you're dodging and all that, you know, it's more like combat rather than just, you know, shooting them with missiles until they die.
Right.
Which is generally what happened in the actual 2D game. So, in some ways, that feeling of just how easy it is to kill them when you get the screw attack is enhanced by, you know, what you were doing before.
Yeah, and the other interesting thing about it is the space jump half of the ability. You get both at the same time, which surprised me a little bit because, you know, typically in the 2D Metroids, they are separate abilities. But
yeah.
I didn't mind getting them both at once. I was just a little surprised. But the interesting thing to me is that they actually took a page from Retro Studios by making the space jump not really able to give you any extra altitude. You can get maybe about 1.5 times higher than you could before if you really time it properly, but generally speaking, the space jump won't let you get to a higher ledge than you could before. It just lets you go out, you know, horizontally across infinite gaps.
And the timing of the space jump is similar to the other Metroids, which I enjoyed.
It's a little easier, I think, than the previous 2D Metroids, but
yeah,
it's more forgiving. But yeah, it feels very similar, but I think it's very wise to take away that vertical gain from it, just because that really breaks a lot of the... I mean, it breaks Super Metroid, it breaks 2, it breaks Zero Mission, and I've always found that, you know, flying around with space jump in the 2D Metroid games is just not that much fun.
No.
It looks cool, but
these big expanses.
Oh, and Metroid 2 in particular is kind of nauseating to fly
around.
Yeah,
I mean, that's got way too many empty rooms, but I think it was a good idea, and also it preserved a sort of separate usefulness for the grapple beam.
Yes.
You know, pulling you up, whereas, of course, the space jump renders the grapple beam in Super Metroid completely obsolete. It is irrelevant at that point.
Yeah, great observation. Let's see. Boss fights. Let's talk about boss fights. Some of the later stuff.
They were pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think one of the highlights, I mean, one of the best qualities of Other M is that it has consistently great boss fights. The Ridley fight is really good.
Yeah, I really like that one.
Yeah,
I think it's the best one they've ever done of a Ridley boss fight, which they've done a lot of them.
Absolutely, yeah. I actually think the Meta Ridley fight in Metroid Prime is kind of terrible.
I like that fight, all right.
It's just something that I mentioned when I was playing through Prime or the trilogy at the beginning of this year, is that a lot of the boss fights in Metroid Prime in retrospect are very simple.
Yeah.
And that would fall under that category.
That fight against Meta Ridley is by far my least favorite part of Metroid Prime, actually. I always dread it. Especially on hard mode, because it is very difficult, but it just feels like the entire fight comes down to how well can you double jump dodge to the side.
Yeah.
And not just how well can you do it a few times, how well can you
like
do it
100 times. And that move never really felt very good to me.
No, certainly not for a quick evasion, no.
Anyway, back to Other M, the Ridley fight is great. I know, Zach, you were a little disappointed by the Metroid Queen battle, but I thought it was pretty awesome, actually.
Well, I didn't like it because first she spits out all these Metroids that are really hard to kill because while you're focusing on one, the other four are ass-raping you.
I got pretty flustered on that, and it turns out there's like a very specific method to dealing with them that it just took me a while to kind of get to.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to that once I was on hard mode, because you have to be good at it there, but...
Sharpens the mind.
Yeah, it does. You know, you dodge around until you get one kind of in a corner, and then...
Well, the way I did it was I just... obviously, they will dodge your shots if you just try and shoot them, so you have to sort of invite them in, wait for them to go for you, dodge, then shoot them. And what I would do is just, if there might be, you know, three or four of them, is freeze so many of them and just leave them frozen until I freeze the last of them and then unload on them with the three missiles. And then you've got enough time to do that. That's one Metroid down, rinse and repeat until the entire crowd is gone. And that is completely effective if you do it that way.
The Queen herself was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I enjoyed that battle. I actually found that part to be a little easy, especially compared to the Metroid hatchling part of it right before that.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought it was a little bit cheap that the game doesn't say, you know, Samus doesn't say, I'm activating my power bomb.
It would have ruined it if she did, though.
That's the only logical way to do it. I mean, I think they expect you to probably die a couple of times. Actually, I knew that you were... I expected that, you know, I anticipated that, and yet... The timing for doing it is so tight that the first couple of times I actually couldn't get it off in time. And I just wasn't pushing the button at the right moment. And so it still took me a couple times. But I think they expect you to die two or three times and just kind of figure it out.
Don't they tell you enough about what's bloody going on in the rest of the game to say, I'm activating power bombs. You should press the power button.
I know, it's just, you're coddled so much up to that point with the abilities that...
Thank God!
That's the way it should be, you know? You should have to realize, oh wait, I've got this power bomb. If I'm ever going to use it, now is the time. So, I kind of like that.
I did, I liked it too. And I mean, they obviously did the checkpoint with that in mind. You know, it'd be if that happened and then you were dumped like way back and had to do a bunch of phases of the boss fight again, but it's clearly constructed.
Right.
Now, I thought that forced first-person thing at the bitter end was awful.
That is terrible. I don't know. I don't know why that's there. Yeah, I was like, okay, I beat the game. I'm ready to watch this stupid movie, and instead they make me blast some fools. And I don't think you can fail it.
You can get killed a lot, but it turns out you have to just focus on MB.
Yeah, it's just another one of, you know, perhaps it's a good time to raise this issue because we didn't discuss it last week. It's another pixel hunt.
Oh, is it?
In disguise.
It's just the only one that you can shoot during.
One you can shoot during and enemies can kill you.
Right. Yeah, it's just, I mean, they are truly terrible, unforgivable. I mean, they're not unforgivable, but completely inexcusable for sure. The pixel hunts.
And the one right before the Ridley fight is awful. Because it's pitch black, you don't know what you're looking for.
I think it's amazing. Some of the things I read. I mean, I was fortunate with them in terms of they never. I don't know. I just probably just got lucky. I think with a few of them. I mean, they kind of make sense at the beginning in terms of like there might be a little visual clue or a little audio cue or something mm-hmm. to kind of guide you. Where to point the reticule and find the pixel, but later on they're kind of just completely obtuse. And mm-hmm. I think some of the things I read was people were stuck for half an hour or 40 minutes.
Minutes was probably my record.
I didn't go beyond 5, fortunately for me. But
even then, that's too long.
Twice, I think I spent like 5 minutes looking for whatever there, and I was like, fuck this. And I went to GameFAQs and just went to the message boards at GameFAQs. And obviously there is a thread where people are like, what the fuck am I supposed to look at here? And so I just went to those threads because I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to feel smarter for figuring this out. I'm just,
no,
it's not worth another 5 minutes of my life scanning around here trying to find out whatever Sakamoto wants me to look at. So
yeah.
Yeah, I took the easy way out, and I have no shame about it whatsoever.
I mean, I think, I don't know whether there's some weird throwback to his Famicom Detective Club days or what the idea is there, but I mean, I think that and some of those parts where they slow Samus down.
And they put the camera right behind her.
Yeah, they put the camera over the shoulder.
Those parts, actually, I like.
There's a sequence at the end of Sector 1 where you meet all your buddies. Then
it's
you
protracted.
Walk up the stairs and through the damn station, and you find the
yeah,
player.
No, that part is way
there,
too
there's
long.
Only one that's really protracted, but, I mean, obviously, yeah, those have no capacity to last 30 minutes, like apparently
no,
these Pixel
no.
HUDs do. But I think the point is those, along with the Pixel HUDs, I think that's part of this problem that we've kind of already touched on in respect of how long is the game going to be. You know, you're kind of trying to recall the old 2D Metroids, which last a couple of hours. How are we mm-hmm. going to kind of lengthen the experience? And I think that's padding.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, as we've said, you play the game at this kind of breakneck pace around everywhere, and it's like, okay, let's just slow Samus down a bit, you know, maybe try and get some tension, you know, dramatic tension, you know, try and weave it into the storyline.
Some
and
dead space.
Well, dramatically, I think those kind of RE4... They actually remind me of Dead Space a lot. Of course, well, Dead Space really comes from Resident Evil 4, but...
As well, yeah.
Those over-the-shoulder parts, you know, except for the one that goes on way too long, generally, I feel like those are very effective at, and they're probably the most legitimately dramatic moments in the entire game. Because because it's not a movie, you're still controlling it.
You can't fire or turn into a ball. Nothing's gonna happen to you.
But it's calling your attention to the atmosphere. Right? Mm. Which generally this game doesn't have that much of. You know, that is a big part of the Metroid franchise is that all, you know, these worlds, these caves that you go into are just dripping with like foreboding music and atmosphere. And I think Other M generally doesn't have much of that, maybe because it's too talky for one thing. And it's a little too artificial in that, you know, you're in this ship and you never get out of it. But I feel like those moments it is kind of nice to slow down very briefly. And just pay attention to the lighting and the angles, you know, and
And also, it's just utilizing the fact that it is 3D. I mean, it's this is something you couldn't really do in a 2D game. It's kind of okay. Let's take it from that zoomed out kind of very artificial view where you're seeing through walls, and you know, it's all about the gameplay. And then just let's zoom it in and make it sort of close and tense. And I could see what they were going for there, and I didn't really have a problem with it. But I think it is part of a suite of measures to say, let's pad the game's running time.
Yeah.
The one place I did think it was effective in is when Samus was down in all the Connexes looking for MB who kept running away. That was actually kind of cool. That was very atmospheric.
Yeah, I mean, some of the sequences are more effective than others. Sometimes it's like you're slowly going around this corner and you wonder what's going to be over there, and then it ends up being not really anything.
Right, but, he runs into an elevator.
Yeah. So, I mean, the storytelling aspect of it is still not that great, but I think the idea of presenting a key moment in that way is really cool. It's basically an interactive cutscene, but it kind of comes across really nicely, I think. It's a technique. The technique itself is effective and could be used in games with better stories. Moving on, let's talk about the story a bit. I know we all hate it, pretty much. But
it's unanimous.
It's one of those things where I feel like if you took away, and Evan Birchfield would hate me saying this, but if you remove the auteur from the picture, you know, and you like gave it to a new producer and let him like recut it and replace all the dialogue, just do ADR, you know, and just rewrite it and revoice it, you could make this into a pretty good story. You know, I mean, it would still be very anime-like, and I generally don't like anime. You know, I don't like the kinds of stories and the way that they're told. But I think you could make it a lot more, you know, if you cut out about two-thirds of it and really boiled it down to the essence and just fixed all the shitty dialogue. I feel like the overall plot is pretty cool. It's just overwrought. It's just too complicated.
I mean, we focused on the writing last week, and that's where the focus belongs, really, because it's distractingly poor. But, I mean, what I found to be a bit problematic with the story, rather than how it was told or how it's written, once I'd seen it all, is the fact that it wasn't so much a prequel to Fusion as it was an alternate version.
Exactly.
So many similarities with Fusion. It's, you know, Sector Zero and the sort of restricted zone.
And you can't fight any of the Metroids in there.
And of course, you know, you've got Adam in much the same role, except in one he's a physical role and in the other he's an AI role.
Yeah.
And you fight the Nightmare.
Well, that's great. I love that.
That was a good fight, but there's so many moments in this game where, if you think to Metroid Fusion, she should be saying a lot, this again?
Well, I think the problem is not what she's saying, but what I'm saying, you know, when I'm playing it, is that, you know, it's yes, we are rerunning much the same story here, except, you know, well, this time it's more of a recreation of Zebes than it is of SR388, or what do you do? You know, it to me, it made it sort of predictable to some extent, and wasn't satisfying in the sense of how it was linking into the other Metroids, even so far as I even really care about that. It's kind of slender, admittedly, but you know, the fan service, if you want to call it that, in terms of seeing some of these boss characters reappear is nice. You know, like I said, Nightmare's a good example.
I like the idea that Ridley grows from this cute little gremlin, basically, or Ewok.
Yeah, that was a little weird to me.
Kind of like a, what are they, Mogwai is actually kind of what he is. Yeah. And he turns it, you know, I like seeing him progress through adolescence. And then, you know, I think that's cool. The idea that Ridley is actually an alien creature that is born and has a childhood. And that's really cool. And it's handled pretty well. I like the sort of explanation that Mother Brain controls the Metroids by telepathy. That sort of makes sense because...
But the computer program can? That's what I didn't get.
Yeah, I mean, that's far-fetched, and the idea that they've made this android that's kind of a clone of Mother Brain or something is stupid. But the part of the story that really bothers me is what Zach alluded to before, the fact that there's this one crazy-ass section of the ship, Sector Zero, where they grow these genetically modified Metroids that are immune to the ice beam, and you never see those Metroids. You never get to fight them. Adam shows up and is like, I'll handle this, Samus. And he goes off, and then he and the cool Metroids disappear.
Yep.
It is such a wasted opportunity. Because if I'm writing Metroid, I'm going to say, you know what? There's this crazy place that you shouldn't go, Samus, because you can't handle it. And then that is the post game. Like you know, fuck Adam. I don't care what happens to Adam. But, you know, just write out his tragic sacrifice and kill him off some other way to maintain continuity with Fusion. I'm going to say Samus plays the rest of the game and avoids that section because there's nothing she can do about it there. You know, and I'm going to show her having a confrontation and having to run away from the Metroids. I think that would be really cool to show Samus getting a fight with the Metroids and, like, fail disastrously and almost die and have to run away. And then towards the end of the game, she gets some ability that maybe gives her a chance against the Metroids where before there was none. And the post-game is she has to go in there and eradicate the genetically mutant Metroids with her new badass weapon that's never been seen before in a Metroid game. Why couldn't that have been what it was?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they kind of tease you with, say, the MB refers to it as like Turian. So you're like, oh, okay, well, this is their way of giving me like a Turian-like place to go to. While we've kind of been to all these other places that are like settings in previous Metroid games. Mm-hmm. And then you never get to go there. I mean, you know, it is an awful tease.
Terrible.
And certainly the idea of, you know, not being able to face up to the Metroids in the same way you have before could have worked similarly to the way that you couldn't really face up to the SAX until the very close of the
game.
Which
was great. That's the best part about Fusion, is the SAX and those creepy-ass encounters with her.
I was definitely a little surprised at just how completely that was like, let's allude to this kind of cool stuff and then completely deny it to you. You know, even more so than it was in Fusion. So, I mean, that's just kind of bad manners, I think.
You know, we haven't really had a good Turian section since the original Metroid.
No.
I mean, that was a really scary place, and it was in Zero Mission, but it wasn't the same.
Yeah, and, you know, when you go back through it in Super Metroid, it's like the beginning of the game.
Yeah, it is. And even when you're down by Mother Brain, it's pretty easy, because you're so powerful.
It's really easy in Super.
Yeah.
And it would be really cool to have a 3D version, you know, where all that's there are the Metroids, and you're freaking out because there could be one zip out of a corner, and they're immune to cold, and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah. In the original NES Metroid, Turian is, that place does not mess around. That place is fucked up. Like, it is scary to be in there because you will die. I mean, that is really a trial, getting through Turin and getting to Mother Brain with enough health and enough missiles to actually kill her.
Yeah.
It's awesome. You know, I mean, that's the way it should be. It's the end of the game. You know, it should challenge you. I do appreciate that Other M throws in the Ringus or whatever they're called towards the end. You know, you can just kind of screw attack through them. But they look cool, and it's just a nice callback. You know, I mean, I appreciate that quite a bit. But, yeah, the fact that you don't ever really go through a section where you have to kill Metroids was weird.
Yeah, I mean, they made all the hideous plot contrivances necessary to establish such a sequence, and then didn't actually capitalize on that in gameplay terms.
it's really odd.
Well, what did you think of the bonus boss in the post-game?
It looks amazing. I thought it was pretty easy.
Oh, it's an easy boss. Yeah. Fantoon, by the way, is who it is.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell? I mean, it comes out of nowhere. Like, you have no... I guess it's like the other bosses in Other M, that there's no prelude. It just shows up and starts...
It's only Ridley that they ever really give any fanfare.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I thought it was awesome. It's an interesting battle. I think it's one of the better uses of the first person, you know, for a boss battle, because you really kind of have to wait until you have a window of opportunity that you can go into first person, because it's the only way you're going to kill it.
Yeah.
But you really have to pay attention to the pattern of the shots, and you have to find, you know, where's my opportunity? And it looks just, the presentation of it is just striking.
Oh, yeah.
I love all the parts of the game where they actually let you see out into space, because that's very few and far between. There's that one morph ball corridor that you go around, and I kept thinking at some point there must be like a secret passageway off of that where I can see more of this. And unfortunately, I think it's just kind of like a showpiece. I mean, it's like a 20-second...
They're reminding you that this is a space station.
Yeah.
It would have been nice just to give that sense of place and sense of scale as well, you know, that this is a colossal facility that you're going around. I mean, they did little bits like that in Prime here and there where they could, even though it's a very
Prime
enclosed
3
game.
Prime 3 mainly, when you're on the, what is it, the abandoned pirate ship, or it's the abandoned Galactic Federation ship.
Yeah.
There's a few times when you're out in, you know, zero-G kind of stuff. I mean, you're not zero-G, but you kind of... There's a couple cutscenes where you're, like, flying through space and Samus, like, grabs onto a ledge at the last second.
That's in the opening, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think in Prime, just stuff like, for instance, if you're going into the Phazon mines and you actually see out from the lift that you're underneath the impact crater.
Right.
So, that place that you've been in earlier, you're kind of going down beneath that now. And just, it's because obviously you have these segmented areas of the world, and just some little illusion there that just gives you the sense of them actually being connected.
It's just vistas, you know? I mean, just amazing vistas in Metroid Prime, and they're totally for show, but they
in Echoes
work.
in the temple, the Tron place. You know, you can look down and you can see this whole big city beneath you.
Right.
And even though it's just a painting,
right,
it's really cool, and it really sells the location.
Do you remember in Eternal Darkness near the end where you're going down into the necropolis, and there's this kind of overlook? And again, it's totally a painting that you're looking at, but it just works, man. It just gives you this fantastic sense of immersion. It just lets you know this is a place and I'm going in. Yeah. This is an awesome place that I'm going into. And yeah, Other M, it's weird. It never really gives you a really good feel for the scope of this space station. It never really...
Especially since nothing's connected.
Well, the shots of it in the CG cutscenes kind of don't... It doesn't really feel natural enough to, you know, mm-hmm. and it isn't getting down close enough to give you an idea of, you know, Samus relative to it and all that kind of thing, you know. You need that in gameplay. There's a few little bits where you're kind of going around connecting little passageways around the outside, but that's about it.
I think Other M could have benefited from a couple of exterior scenes, like much like mm-hmm. what you get in Dead Space, you know, very mm-hmm. high tension. Maybe, you know, she has to turn on her gravity suit and she can't really jump because she's like magnetically walking on the surface or something. So it would,
that'd be cool.
It would limit you down. It would ratchet up the tension a little bit, but you still have to shoot some things. It'd be a little more slow paced. It would pull off some of the same effect as those over the shoulder scenes, except you'd actually be able to fight a little bit. It would just give you such a better sense of place than you have, you know.
And another way of changing up the pacing. Because clearly that is something they wanted to do. Preferable to pixel hunts, I can only imagine that would be so.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's talk a little about the pre- and post-credits divide. I mean, this was something that I read your review, Zach, before I played the game. I edited it. And so I was pretty familiar with this idea of there being a post-game, and once you see the credits, you can go back and get all the stuff. And for you, that's when the game basically begins, right?
That's when it turned into a Metroid game, yes. Even though they tell you where all the items are. I mean, I don't really have a problem with that, but it made it very easy.
I mean, there's still a few that I was really scratching my head. Like, I know there's something on the other side of this wall, but where is it? I can't see it. What the hell's going on?
Well, and the thing is, they can play little camera tricks that you couldn't necessarily in stuff like Prime because it's all fixed camera. It kind of goes to what they did with the green stars in Mario Galaxy 2, because that's got such a guided camera. You know, if you've got this very guided camera in 3D, you can play 2D style sort of visual tricks of how you're actually going to get to this place.
A lot of that in God of War, as I've mentioned before. But I guess, Zach, one of the biggest areas that I disagree with you in terms of your review is that I felt like, in certain ways, it already felt like a Metroid game to me. And so maybe that's why I felt kind of let down by the post-game, because you had built it up a lot as you really couldn't enjoy the game very much until the credits rolled.
And that was true.
I understand that, but I was already enjoying the game. And so I was looking forward to this milestone, and I figure I'm going to enjoy it even more once I get through this dumb story. You know, that's Zach says that's when it gets really, really good. So if I already enjoy it more than him, I'm going to enjoy it way more than him once I get to the post game. It ended up being kind of a letdown, because I think part of it is that maybe I was a little more focused on getting some of the pickups before the credits rolled. I mean, I was taking it pretty slow as I could through the main part of the game. And I had almost 50 missiles by the time I beat the game. And, you know, I'd felt like I was already pretty happy with the item placement, the puzzles, the, you know, all that stuff, all that Metroid-y stuff. And I felt like I'd already gotten a good dose of it. And the post-game stuff just lets you do more of that without the annoying stuff. So it's more streamlined. I can just kind of go and focus on that. But it's not really different.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, during the first part of the game, if you could, you can also have the location of an item indicated to you if you clear the room of enemies, which is kind of like the new incentive to kill enemies, because of course they don't yield health anymore.
Right.
So I could see what they were doing there. That's kind of how you can get items before the credits roll, but of course you're always kind of, if you're not sure how to get there, you're like, do I have what I need to get there?
Right.
You kind of two minds. And then I think what Zach sort of says comes into play a bit, in terms of if you get a power up and then you think, I can go back and get that thing now because this is what I need. You may not be able to do that, or certainly not be able to do it very expediently, because they're funneling you down a path.
The red doors definitely piss me off. Definitely.
Yeah, and they're everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it's, you know, supposed to be for your own good, I think, you know, because they try to say, well, look, this is something I've encountered in Prime, and sometimes it's kind of annoying where you end up going so far, but you can't go any further because, you know, you haven't got the requisite gear. So it's kind of annoying to be allowed to go that far and kind of waste your time, so...
Well, I mean, that happens in Super Metroid, too.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, in every Metroid game, that's kind of part of the environment. That's sort of rules of the game, if you like. But, yeah, so in some cases, you know, perhaps I'm being spared that, but other times, you know, maybe I don't want to go to some uncharted part of the map. Maybe I just want to go back to that little thing that I, you know, noted in my mind earlier. So I understand that.
Well, let me say that in Super Metroid, you can get as many items as you want, or barely any at all. And you can also beat the game without the jump ball.
Oh, yeah, that's completely unnecessary.
You can do whatever you want, you know, in Super Metroid. And when you fight Mother Brain, you can really make it hard on yourself.
It's Zero Mission, you get rewarded for clearing the game with like 15% of all the items.
Yes, you do. You do. You get a new image at the end.
They actually kind of encourage it if you like.
Sure, and that's a Sakamoto game. I mean, it's not that he's sabotaging the tenets of Metroid. He helped create them, and he has recently even furthered them. And it is odd that Other M is... You know, it lacks so much of that freeform nature that people like about Metroid. I wouldn't want to watch a speed run of Other M. Like, I don't know what I can't imagine that there is sequence breaking. It seems like they've done everything they could to prevent that. You could do a minimum item thing, but that's
hard mode.
That's hard mode. Exactly right.
Yeah, they've turned that into its own.
You know,
mode.
I guess the thing about it is the freedom to explore and discover is one of the biggest things about Metroid that I love. You know, you find that jump ball accidentally and you're like, holy shit, this is useless, but look what I found.
Yeah. That's absolutely a great moment, yeah.
And there's none of that in Other M. In Other M, he literally says, oh, you're dying, you should put on your Varia suit now.
Yeah.
Well, I must say, I mean, if this is a first, I think, ever for me playing through a Metroid game, it was never a point where I got stuck or lost in such a way where I put the controller down, switched off the system, and had to come back. You know, just didn't happen. That happened for days in Super Metroid because I had no idea what I was doing. I never played a game like it. I was like, I can freeze those things and jump on them? What? So obviously that, you know, when you get to something like Zero Mission and you're educated, you've got the Metroid sense, you know, that block looks funny. I'm going to shoot that.
Right. Yeah, and you do develop a Metroid sense.
You do, but still, even those short handheld games, so certainly the Prime games, all that, I'd get stuck, and I'd just have to say, it's not working for me right now, let's just set that aside and come back. It didn't happen in Other M, and from one point of view, that was good, you know, it was a good forward momentum, I kept going, I kept enjoying it, and I think that's principally why they were doing it, you know, because a lot of people probably haven't got a lot of people that were playing the game might not have the same tolerance for that sort of thing.
Right.
They seem to think a lot of people this will be their first Metroid game.
Well, that's what they hope.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to buy this based, you know, nobody knows what Metroid is if you don't already.
There's a pretty good TV commercial, so maybe...
That's true, you know.
We'll see.
Well, and I mean, you can't just resign yourself to never selling copies to people who don't know something.
Right, there's only
no way to grow a property or a company of that sort of defeatist mindset.
Yeah.
And that's why they include the post-game. They include the post-game for people like us who want to collect 100%.
I mean, look, first of all, to sum up my thoughts on the post-game, I did enjoy it. I mean, this, speaking of someone who got every bloody green star, you might imagine I would enjoy
it.
Yeah. The quality of the environmental puzzles is not on a par with Prime.
No, it's not.
Primarily, perhaps, because they don't do, and I fully anticipated this, but they don't do as many interesting things with the Wharf Ball, for a start. It's just boosting and the Spider Ball and all the cool stuff that they did in Prime to make the ball a really prominent and interesting and completely different kind of experience is not here.
Yeah, the Morph Ball is almost useless in Other M.
Yeah.
I mean, except when you absolutely have to use it to proceed.
Yeah, there's just specific parts where you have to.
Yeah, it's really not useful. And it's partly because it's not any faster than moving normally. And, you know, it's not like you're going to be bombing all over the place like you were in Zero Mission and Super Metroid to look for hidden tunnels and things. that doesn't really exist in this game. And so there's not much reason to go into Morph Ball. I was really disappointed. I found that I just rarely ever use the Morph Ball mode, especially in the post game. It's like, unless I have to use a power bomb to open this one of these six doors in the game.
Yeah, and that was the second part of it. The what I was looking for was you see these hatches that you can't open, and then you come back to the post game stuff, and you've got the power bombs, you can open them now, and they do these new pathways interconnect the world that was, you know, quite a sort of linear kind of romp with some crisscrossing back and forth in between. But it does interconnect the world, but not to the same extent that you've seen in previous Metroid games.
No, and a lot of the time they're just one room with one upgrade in there.
Yeah, it's like a closet.
Some of them are, yeah, that's right. I mean, some of them are very perfunctory in that sense. And that disappointed me somewhat that you didn't get, because, you know, I mean, something like Zero Mission. If you'd asked me after I played that the first time through, I probably would have thought it held a candle to Super Metroid. But once I discovered the fact that I could escape the clutches of the mothership and take the power bombs back to the rest of the world...
That's an amazing
And then
sequence.
All these things about the environment reveal themselves to you because, you know, the power bomb kind of functions like the X-ray scope in Zero Mission.
Yeah.
And it starts interconnecting in different ways. It's like, oh my God, the stuff they came up with that was hidden in the... I went through these environments and I didn't notice.
You had no idea. I know. That's... God, Zero Mission is so good.
The fact that you come back with the power...
It's so fucking good.
You're absolutely... You know I think that, because I touted it for Game of the Decade. But, I mean, the fact that you're coming back with the power bombs and opening up... It's thematically similar. But in practice, it doesn't reveal the same kinds of depth. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed being able to sort of, you know, explore it at will and see how it interconnected. And there is some cool kind of interconnections. There were still sometimes it was like, well, I want an item there in this sector. I'm currently in this sector. What's the quickest way to get there? Let's go and get it. You know, I like that. And I enjoyed that part of this, but it wasn't on the same level as the 2D Metroids, in my opinion.
Yeah, not at all.
So, we got to wrap this up. Let's talk about where the series should go from here. Zach, I'll start with you. What do you think the next Metroid game should be like? Should it be handheld, console, 2D, 3D, story-based, planet-based, space station-based?
I'd like to see it on the 3DS.
Okay.
Well, I think this... I said it on the newscast. I think Metroid would work really well on 3DS. But I'd like to see one of two scenarios. One, tell the story, now that we're going to give Samus some backstory, make it better, but talk about how she was raised by the Chozo.
Yeah.
You know, her training with the Chozo on the planet before it became a dead planet.
Sure.
That'd be awesome. And the second thing I'd like them to do is, you know, Nintendo's not very good at moving beyond big plot changes like in Wind Waker. You know, they still haven't really made a sequel to Wind Waker. And I doubt they ever will. But, you know, you'll notice that Other M does not deal with the, you know, after effects of corruption, and it doesn't deal with the after effects of fusion. You know, they went ahead and told a middle story. But what happens to Samus now that she's, you know, infected by this Metroid DNA? And
like the quest to become purified of the Metroid DNA
something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think that would be really cool. Call it Metroid 5.
but I suppose the biggest thing is just the sense that there's a bit of a cop-out that goes on where you invent these intermediate chapters and, you know, have the boldness
to
do something.
The end of Phantom Hourglass is a big fuck you.
Yeah, I think Sakamoto wanted Other M to be kind of his Episode 3 Revenge of the Sith moment, where he would, like, magnificently sort of tie together Super Metroid and Metroid Fusion, and it totally does not deliver. I'm an apologist for Episode 3. I think it's kind of amazing how Lucas manages to script that shit together pretty tightly, and it actually makes continuity sense. You know, there are problems with the acting and the dialogue in some cases, but I think in terms of like being able to script all that together and make it flow, it's crazy awesome. And
he put it off for two movies before that.
Right, yeah. But it really totally comes together in episode 3, and some of it's amazing how it all fits together. Other M is nothing like that.
Well, no, but well, because we can't be, because it's like, well, if we had episode 3 and it involved them blowing up the Death Star at the end. I mean, you can't tie things together by having the one bit be the same as the other bit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just not feasible. I mean, what do I think? We did a feature on this a couple of years ago before E3 2008 about what we wanted from the series. What I wanted was a really renewed sense of empowerment in Metroid, you know, and yeah. What I meant by that primarily was, you know, when you play Super Metroid for the first time, if that was your first Metroid game especially, you know, that it's a really unique feeling. And, you know, I think Johnny's right when he talked about how replayable they are. It doesn't get old, really.
No.
That's demonstrated, in fact, by the way that it keeps getting reprised in all these sequels. But I really did want to see it renewed and given to us in a different way. And of course, when you do just gain the same set of abilities again as you do in other M,
yeah,
just with a different contrivance to do it narratively, it didn't satisfy in that way. So that I'm still holding out hope for something like that in the future that's really going to say, let's give Samus new abilities, maybe in parallel to the one she currently has, you know, or something that builds on them in some way. But in terms of, yeah, what Zach was saying with 3DS, I think we go more to the practical elements of trying to continue the series. It is clear, I think, that Other M is not going to be one of Nintendo's more profitable titles. Even if it were to sell relatively well, they've spent on it in such a way. You clearly do the quality of the CG movies and all this kind of stuff. I mean, you know, compared to something like New Super Mario Bros. Wii, Wii Fit, or even maybe Galaxy 2, it probably is quite an expensive game to produce. And so even if it sells quite well, it wouldn't be nearly as profitable as those, and it's yet to be seen how well it will sell at all. So I think in all likelihood what will happen if they're going to continue down this road, and of course they may not, is perhaps to say, okay, let's take the good things about this game, let's say, you know, some of the 3D kind of edge and all that, perhaps apply it to 3DS, the handheld arena, where you're not under pressure to put 2 hours of story in to justify it being the price of a console game, because it's not the price of a console game.
Right.
And say, let's cut the costs of making a new story, new dialogue, all that kind of stuff, and just focus on the graphics engine we've got, the gameplay we kind of established, and do it on 3DS and actually make more money back on the kind of sunk costs that we've put into this one already.
Well, I'm absolutely on board with the new abilities. You've probably remember me saying about Fusion that one of my biggest criticisms about Metroid Fusion is that I don't really think they capitalized on the theme of Samus being infused with, you know, being fused with Metroid DNA. That doesn't come across in the gameplay.
No.
She looks kind of different, but she doesn't really...
She looks like a purple monkey.
Yeah, and she ends up getting pretty much all the same abilities that she had before. There's very little effect from that, and I feel like in Metroid 5, Metroid Fusion 2, whatever you're going to call it, she needs to get some crazy-ass new shit. And actually, yeah, this is where, and I've recently been very, very sporadically replaying Metroid Prime 3 Corruption, and I think Retro deserves probably more praise than they've gotten for infusing so many new ideas into that game. There, oh, yeah, you get almost none of the abilities you get in Corruption have ever been seen before in a Metroid game at all, and I commend them very highly. I think some of them are a little bit artificial in how they're used or how they're portrayed, but God bless them for trying.
It's the biggest step outside the box there's been.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think that's really in question. I mean,
right,
I think they're a little bit shooty and they're a little bit key-ish, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, but I absolutely agree it should be commended for trying.
Yes, and, you know, I think Sakamoto is, and his teams, or, you know, the other people that work on Metroid in Japan are generally better at creating abilities than Retro has proven to be. And I want them to, like, do that again.
Yes.
Like, make some new powers, please.
I think there's some hope for that. I think, you know, this clearly was very much trying to capture, you know, the original Metroid and Super Metroid in a new way, you know, and so I don't think they wanted to go too far outside, and maybe it was also much to, you know, just get the basics of the game down, that they sort of didn't go outside that box. Whereas, you know, if they did try and sort of say, well, okay, we could get more mileage out of this with just new creative ideas, hopefully they would be able to find ways to really infuse it with just, you know, that real, you know, what's so wonderful about Metroid is that you become more powerful in a truly interactive way that has nothing to do with your numbers or anything like that. You know, it feels organic.
No stats, yeah.
And that's why it feels all the more empowering. It is, you know, more, for the lack of a better word, it is more visceral.
Yeah, it's like you're slowly becoming a superhero. It's like the origin story of a superhero, but drawn out over the entire game.
And told over, repeatedly over several games.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the real issue, is that, you know, those. I've replayed Metroid games a hell of a lot. I've played each of the Prime games 3 times. In fact, I think in the last 10 months, thanks to the Prime trilogy, I got a Christmas, thanks to the Metroid 2 retroactive and my usual hankering to play, you know, the 2D classics, I've played every Metroid game all the way through.
In the past 10 months.
In the past 10 months, apart from the NES original. So I've got a pretty rich context for this at the minute. So they are replayable. It doesn't really get completely exhausted, but it has been diluted at this point, and it needs that renewal that I'm talking about, I think, very strongly.
I would like to see something more and better done with the Morph Ball. I think if they're going to, you know, Morph Ball is cool. Everybody likes it. Everybody likes the idea of it. It's really kind of wasted in other M. And I think they need to go back to the drawing board and think about how they can justify it being in the game. How can they make it cool? How can they really use this to their advantage? What can you do in Morph Ball that you can't do normally? And how can we build that into the game?
Retro did it best, really.
Yes, Retro absolutely did it the best.
As I say, I anticipated that they wouldn't be able to reach, you know, there was a number of areas I felt that it was likely that they wouldn't be able to sort of, you know, because of the style of game that it is, they wouldn't be able to reach, you know, what Retro did. And the Morph Ball was certainly one of them, but I was kind of a bit disappointed by just how far they fell short.
And it wasn't as necessary in Other M. Because in Prime, the Morph Ball serves a really important game design function in that it completely changes the pace and the feel of the game. So because Samus moves very slowly in this first-person view, and it's very shooting-heavy, and oftentimes it's actually quite, you know, it can be very disorienting where the next room is or where you're going. The ability to just roll up into that ball and roll around very quickly or go into some tunnels and play some 2D gameplay is so refreshing, and it makes those games much, 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 much better. And you don't need that in Other M because the game's already a lot more straightforward, easier to understand, fast-paced, agile. So again, I just say, you know, if the game is moving in that direction, it's going back to being really fast and smooth, then you have to re-justify the Morph Ball's place in the game design. And just the maps in Other M aren't built around Morph Ball the way that the old 2D games were. And they need to get back to that a little bit. I mean, think about in Zero Mission, the way you can use the Shine Spark with the Morph Ball to get into these tiny spaces. I think Other M would have benefited even from that.
And just in general, there's nothing that fiendish in this game.
Right.
I mean,
not at all.
It's not.
And again, I mean, one thing, just to Retro's expertise, I mean, the graphics are lovely, and I think they would play really well on 3DS, as Zach was mentioned in the newscast and stuff, because I think the weaknesses of them, compared to the Prime games, is that the environment design is not as intricate, is not as, you know, lovingly sort of unique in each room.
You notice there are a lot fewer moving parts in Other M.
Yes.
Yeah, very,
and that
very
plays
few.
Into the puzzle design too. I mean, there aren't really nearly as many, what I would say, puzzles in Other M, just because there aren't as many mechanisms in the world, which is weird because it's an entirely mechanical world, whereas Metroid Prime is mostly organic, and yet there's more machines in Metroid Prime.
It's true. I mean, it is. Yeah. I mean, look, some of it is just that it's not a stop and smell the roses kind of game, as we've established. So it's kind of, you know, it would be excessive to have this level of detail. But that's why it would work really well on a portable, because, you know, you're not taking it all in on some 30 to 50-inch TV or anything. You know, I think it would be perfectly suited to a portable its style of graphics. But yeah, it can't match the intricacy of what they do in Prime, but it is playing to the strengths of the gameplay with how colourful it is and how great the animation is and all that kind of stuff. So I mean, they've certainly, I think, did it the right way, but it's worth acknowledging, you know, what Retro did is kind of still, there's still a bar there that hasn't been surpassed for me.
Right.
Definitely.
Well, I agree with everything you guys have said, and just, I guess, my final thought on the next Metroid game, if we ever get one. I mean, if this is a total bomb, then maybe this is the last hurrah. I really hope not.
At least it's gone into prolonged hibernation once or twice before.
Right. It could be again, but I would like to see a little more return to emphasizing the atmosphere and the moodiness of Metroid, which is really severely lacking in other M, and maybe necessarily so just because of the scenario and the environment.
Yeah, I mean, what do you feel about the soundtrack in that regard?
And just not, they're almost, there barely is a soundtrack, and I feel like it's really missing. Especially, you know, after what we said about Metroid 2 and how the sound is so creepy and disturbing and off-putting and just really accentuates that game so much. And other
but that's what I wanted to say, because a lot of people would say they're going for the ambient thing, they go for, you know, that kind of stuff.
But they're all ambient. This is the lack of ambience.
Especially the Prime series, big parts of the Prime series and Metroid 2 are very ambient, but they've got a lot more character. Mm-hmm. I mean, this, you know, they went orchestral, and that pays off in certain areas. A nice rendition of the Ridley escape theme and all that kind of stuff is always cool for Metroid fans to hear.
But silence is not ambience.
But yeah, there's a lot of stuff like, you know, like with the battle scenes and stuff. It just feels a bit like sci-fi movie of the week kind of stuff. Yeah. And not very particular to Metroid, and so it does, you know, it's not bad in itself, but it doesn't lend that unique atmosphere.
There were a few places where I really liked the lack of noise and the ambience, and I'll give you two examples. One is in the giant magma chamber in Sector 2. You can hear the monsters moaning, and you can hear the lava flowing, and that's pretty cool. And the other one is, there's this area in Sector 1 where you're basically running down an incredibly long tube, and about halfway through it, you come to a glass area, and you just hear these creatures moving around out there. And I forgot that you can go into first person. So the next time I was down there, I went into first person, looked around, and oh my gosh, there's triosaurs out there. And that was really cool. You know, you could hear them moving around and breathing and making noise. Then you fight like 8 of them. I mean, there were moments like that that were very effective. But overall, I don't think...
I think that's more in the sound design than in the soundtrack, though. I mean, the sound design was more effective.
The sound effects are great.
They
music
seem to lift the charge beam straight out of Prime, which weirded me out.
Yeah, they did. I'm sure they did.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think if they end up remaking Metroid 2, which is clearly overdue, and I would love to see the Zero Mission theme...
Treatment
applied to Metroid 2. If they do that, then I'm not worried about the atmosphere coming back, because that game is all atmosphere. I mean, you are the only humanoid creature on that planet killing Metroids. It's just a very morose game, you know, period. So I'm not worried if that is what they end up doing. If they go and make Metroid 5 or Metroid Other M 2 or whatever, you know, whatever interstitial kind of thing that they want to do, they really need to focus on getting back to the roots of the series, which to me is atmosphere. I mean, if Metroid on NES does nothing else, it is a creepy game, and that they need to get back to that. And Fusion is so good at that.
Yeah.
Most of Other M, I honestly could have seen them going with something like a Transformers the movie kind of, you know, the animated movie kind of, like, end-to-end rocks, like, butt
Vince
rock.
Vince DiCola.
Like, it would fit.
Rocky Five.
Most of Other M, that kind of thing would fit. You know, and that's just not good.
Yeah, because even just the way Samus kind of does things to some extent, you know, just shoving a gun in something's face and blowing it off.
Look, this is science fiction, but it's supposed to be closer to 2001 than it is to Total Recall. And music is one of the ways in which you, and I love both of those movies, by the way, but music is one way in which you really push the feel that the player is supposed to get. And supposedly that's something that's very important to Sakamoto, is he wants the player to feel things about what's going on here. And Other M really, as we've discussed, it really falls flat in a lot of the ways it tries to do that. And the sad thing is it doesn't even pull off what the previous games in the franchise did so well to make the player feel emotion and feel some kind of, you know, immersion in the game. Mm. So I wanted to get back to that for sure. Whether it's got dialogue or not, look, they're going to do what they're going to do, but at least include the things that you already did so well in the previous games.
You know, one thing I'll say about the Prime games is one of the reasons, somebody said this on the forums, and I totally agreed, one of the ways that they really suck you in is when there's a flash outside your helmet, you see her eyes reflected in the shield, in the helmet, and that's really immersive. And you don't get that in this game. Even when you're in first person and you shoot something, you don't get that kind of effect.
Yeah, the first person stuff is generally not done well in Other M. I mean, it doesn't ruin the game for me, but if they go to the 3DS and they just take that part out, I'm not going to feel that sad about it.
Yeah, I mean, logistically, that could well make sense on 3DS as well. You know, obviously, the whole pointing kind of conceit of why it's natural isn't there. So, that could well happen. Of course, 3DS, we've got the slide pad built in, so certainly might be more egregious.
What about the stylus every time you go in a first person?
Oh, let's not bring stylus into Metroid, please. That didn't work very well last time. Okay, that's going to close it out. I hope you Metroid fans enjoyed this super dosage of Metroid talk. And I know James will enjoy us getting back to other topics.
He won't even listen to this episode.
No. I know he won't, and that's fine.
Assuredly not.
He probably won't be the only one. You know, I'm sure there are people who get sick of us talking about Metroid, and that's okay. But we are self-indulgent at times, and this is one of those. And also, I know there are many passionate Metroid fans, and so I wanted to give them a little more. So I hope you enjoyed it. We're done with Metroid Other M for now. Until
forever.
Until Metroid Other M Trilogy comes out and we all play through it again. So I want to thank Greg and especially Zach for making special plans to come and do this with us. Thank you very much.
Of course.
And before we go, I do want to promote a really special and awesome event that's coming up. James and Carly are going to be hosting a live edition of Radio Trivia. That means it's a live audio stream, and there's a chat room that you go into, and you guess the games as they play them, and there are prizes, actually some awesome Metroid prizes, which I'm sure James is going to grit his teeth as he announces the winners of those.
Delicious irony.
Yeah, I guess so. But some really, really cool prize stuff you can win, and you can play Radio Trivia with other people for the first time in 4 or 5 years. It's really been quite a while since we did that. A lot of newer listeners to the show and new visitors to our website may not realize, but that's how we did Radio Trivia. We did it live every Friday night for years and years and years, going back to, 2000, I think, even before that. It was before I even joined the site. So back to 99 at least. And it's really, really fun. I mean, I used to host it all the time. That's how I learned how to talk over the internet. You know, that was like the first time that I even had that experience. It's a lot of fun. So if you can if it's at all possible for you to participate in live Radio Trivia, it's going to be Friday night, September 17th. Go to NintendoWorldReport.com for all the details. There's a little bit of software and there's, you know, you have to go to the chat room. You have to pull up the stream. So it's not super simple, but it's totally worth it. And you will have a great time. And you'll actually get to interact with some other listeners from the site, some other people who visit the site, which maybe you don't do that often. So this is your chance. And it's going to be a lot of fun. They're going to play some good music. Go check it out.
I'm excited.
Me too. I don't know if I can go, but I want to.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week with the regular show with James and John and Greg too, and a lot of other games that are not called Metroid. So look forward to that. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time.